Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with my lovely lady of the book, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, sweetie, and Erev Tov to you all. So far in 2026, we have been refreshing mature Christians on how to properly disciple new believers in Basic Knowledge 101 in order to move them forward in Jesus as quickly as possible, so to achieve their own total sanctification, which will enable them as well to be effective disciples themselves in these final days. So to add to the past 5 weeks, which are archived on shofarministries.net, another scriptural way to draw closer to Him is to search for typology, which Proverbs 25:2 calls it searching out a matter, so to glorify God.
So, one way to glorify God is to look for typology.
Which tonight we will do. But first, let us rejoice to be alive during such a time as this.
Abba, Father, and Lord God Almighty, we are indeed very grateful to be alive in these last days, and we greatly rejoice in knowing You and that You know us. We pray for those Christians who seldom study Scripture. May they recognize the many benefits of spending serious time with You. We lift up these recent healing requests, our soldiers, Israel, and also the suffering people of Iran as they continue to wait for help. Lord, surround President Trump with wise counsel and protect him from deception. And please continue to entice our unsaved loved ones so they, too, can be the bride of Christ. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Oh, amen. All right. Well, last Friday's meeting in Oman with Iran's officials were described as a good start with more this week. And it's obvious by now that President Trump wants to make a deal, but insists it's Iran who wants to make a deal, even though they won't so far agree to the proposal. What disturbed me was afterward, Trump said he has all the time in the world. Are you kidding me? No hurry? While the people are relying on what Trump said 4 weeks ago yesterday, that help is on the way, so keep protesting. Well, those words resulted in thousands of more deaths every week and still continues.
Some horrific testimonies are leaking out.
Yes, but do you know what else leaked out?
Oh, do tell.
Well, according to an Iranian military man named Nabafian, a message was conveyed through a third country intermediary shortly before the negotiations began, where Trump allegedly requested, "Let me strike two locations in Iran, then you respond lightly, and then the story ends."
I hope he didn't say that.
Especially because the people are begging for a regime change. But as I said a couple weeks ago, Qatar, Turkey, and the Arab Gulf nations are seriously pulling Trump's strings.
Yeah, he should have never taken that plane.
Actually, his family never should have gone in business with them either. And they have already given the United States billions of dollars in investments. And we all know the saying, money talks and, well, you can fill in the blanks. And Qatar is behind what happens in Gaza, too.
For they are supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, who is Hamas.
Exactly. And they still have headquarters in Doha. Anyhow, I want to believe it's just Trumpy rhetoric to keep Iran off guard.
Yeah, both sides are stalling.
Yes, for the Iranians are still trying to curtail the civil unrest, which is slowing down. After all, you kill enough people, it's bound to decrease the protests. Meanwhile, President Trump continues to enforce sanctions on any nation buying Iranian oil and their financial networks as well. But yet another week, and speculations are useless at this point, for we don't know what will happen. Although more explosions have been taking place from the inside, like the covert Mossad.
Also our covert CIA.
Yes. So again, we must just wait and see.
But I want to believe Trump and Bibi will help the people, as he once said, and change that evil regime.
Of course, till at least the rapture, then everything will change, having about 3 years to fulfill the Ezekiel 38 war.
Especially since the righteous will be gone.
Praise the Lord. But back to today, whatever happens, we know 1 Thessalonians 5 says, which is our last clue, that some kind of a peace and security deal will be declared just before the rapture that whoever's in charge in Iran will agree to and then break later after the rapture. And by the way, in Ayatollah Shia theology, not talking about the Sunnis, they believe war is a must and that Israel is destined to be destroyed as a political entity before their Messiah can come. They call the 12th Shiite Imam, called the Mahdi. So they must have a war and actually most desire it.
Yeah, so really twisted.
In the meantime, we see that Prime Minister Netanyahu has moved up from next week his Washington meeting with Trump to this week, tomorrow. Obviously, very serious. He felt he couldn't even wait till next week.
Yeah, that's saying a lot.
He is very concerned that any deal with Iran will tie their hands and lock Israel into a diplomatic cage, making independent military action impossible while agreement is in place.
And he's so right.
So he must know that Trump is not planning any attack of significance. And the Jerusalem Post reported that Bibi already said Israel will go it alone if they have to by hitting Iran's missile program. That has grown significantly since last June's 12th day war.
And then there's Gaza, who Trump insists we are in phase two.
I know, it's like more rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas still rules half of Gaza, continues to target Israeli troops on Israel's side, and refuses to disarm. Meanwhile, Israel continues to attack Hezbollah's illegal infrastructure in southern Lebanon, where Lebanon's ruling government is refusing to stop them, as they once agreed they would do. That's all.
Okay, we welcome all of your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is always received with much gratitude, and any correspondence will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can also bless us on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all our past radio and newsletters are archived for your learning pleasure. All right, time for the word.
Yes, it is. And like I said, it's been a couple of years since we taught on the importance of being totally sanctified. So over the last 5 weeks, we have studied this topic using a boatload of scriptures. Total sanctification not only grows your faith, it also spiritually clothes you in the armor of God, which the last two programs were about. We also pointed out the fact that you cannot just pray it on, but rather through total salvation reaching the flesh.
We also talked about how to study.
As in always, having your concordance dictionary handy to look up certain words for a more accurate understanding.
And as you grow, an interlinear is very helpful.
Oh, it is, which shows you the actual Greek or Hebrew Masoretic text with English underneath each word, as well as a sidebar for the full English text. And because Scripture interprets Scripture, be sure to look up those cross-references.
Located either in the center or bottom of each page.
It shows you where similar scriptures are used, which often confirms hermeneutically proper comprehension. And don't forget about the lexicons, because that examines the more important words, just not all of them like the concordance does, but rather the more vital words, defining it by the contextual meaning used in a particular verse and gives other verses that same word is used.
Oh, you know, and a Bible dictionary is great with its many descriptive pictures.
Yes. So, using any of these methods is all part of studying His Word.
And then time just flies.
Amazingly so. And keep in mind how studying Scripture is the number one pleasure for the Holy Spirit to see us doing and rewards us for it. After all, the Holy Spirit, our real teacher, is guiding our path to find those gold nuggets, specially hidden for those who study.
Proverbs 25:2.
And remember Hebrews 12:5 that says we all must be weaned from the milk onto solid food.
Also, take the scriptures literally whenever possible.
Right. Unless it says something is like something else, as we often see in apocalyptic books. We also need to consider the times it was written, the reason it is written, and the circumstances of the writer when it was inscribed, which is why we need to incorporate our Hebraic roots from no later than the first century. Therefore, to have some basic knowledge of the culture and history of the people we are studying, while remembering that God did not reveal everything to man in the beginning.
Even though it is all in the Bible.
Yes, but it's the Holy Spirit who reveals truth at His discretion.
As we said, it's progressive revelation.
And He has saved the best for His last generation, as proven by the discovery of
the Dead Sea Scrolls.
And we are certainly gaining a lot more knowledge, which helps His church better understand what's really going on.
As Daniel 12:4 told us that knowledge would increase.
Yes, He did.
Okay, time to talk about still another way to study.
You mean typology. Mm-hmm. As you all know, the Old Testament contains literal, true happenings that really occurred, unlike a parable that is just a story. And how do you know the difference? A parable uses no names. A true account does, which often has a double, sometimes triple hidden meaning for a future event. In other words, an early story can be a type that happens still before Christ comes, or when Christ does come, or still later fulfilled by Jesus in that day.
So, typology is a genuine form of predictive prophecy.
Oh, for sure. Because the Bible is all about Jesus. So says Psalm 40:7 and confirmed again in Hebrews 10:7.
In the volume of the book, it is written of me.
So, for the next few weeks, we'll be looking at many pictures. You know, because the Old Testament is not just a collection of historical tales used for Sunday school, you know.
Yeah, you can find Jesus in every book in many chapters.
And with the discovery of Hebraic coding, which is where the interlinear comes in, Yeshua's Hebrew initials of the Aleph and the Tav is seen in many verses, which we'll expound on later.
But fairly easy to see.
Oh, yeah, and very easy to find on your own, especially when totally sanctified. The Holy Spirit just zooms in on them. So what we are saying is that standing somewhere in the shadows, Yeshua can always be seen in His Word, which is why John says Jesus is the Word.
Period.
Mm-hmm. So I like to teach the typology of Isaac because we think it's probably the easiest picture to see, and a lot of it in Genesis 22, which, by the way, takes place long after Isaac was miraculously conceived, as Jesus was miraculously incarnated. But let's begin by reading Genesis 22 in verse 1.
Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham.
Let me ask you, does God test us?
For sure.
But not for his knowing, but for us to see ourselves, which helps to build our reliance on him in all matters. So, read that again, please.
Now it came to pass that after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am.
So those words, now it came to pass after these things, denotes idiomatically that it didn't just happen after chapter 21, which told of Isaac's birth, but rather probably years later. And just like Jesus, whom we don't hear much about of his younger life, nor do we of Isaac. So there's another typology.
Easily missed if not looking for pictures.
Yep. Okay, verse 2.
Then he said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the Mount of Moriah.
Which we learn to be Mount Zion in Jerusalem, out of seven mountains in all of Israel.
And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.
And remember, when you read the prior chapter, you knew that Abraham disowned Ishmael and sent him along with his birth mother Hagar into the desert per Sarah's request. And God told and sanctioned Abraham to listen to her because it was through Isaac that his seed would be called. It was probably here that Abraham knew he might have to kill his miracle child Isaac, but that God would resurrect him. How else would the promise come from Isaac's seed?
He obviously had to think that.
Right. Because God told him Isaac would have a seed, and as of that time, he did not. In fact, we learned he was 60 years old when his twins were born.
Which is still another typology for another time.
Yes, that starts another thread called the numbers typology, which is both fun and challenging to your brain and makes you think, which helps you keep your brain in good working condition.
Amen to that.
Anyhow, God still blesses Ishmael's descendants and would also make them fruitful.
And we sure see that today.
Oh, yeah, big time. However, it would be Isaac that was called his only son, meaning of promise. So Abraham is a type of God and Isaac a type of Jesus. Verse 3.
Abraham rose early in the morning.
Now, you might have noticed often in Scripture it speaks of godly men rising in the morning.
So, do you think God prefers we rise early?
That would be my observation. Okay, let's start again. Verse 3.
So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him.
Okay, here we see there's a donkey involved and two young men. And we know on Palm Sunday Jesus sent his two disciples to get the donkey, already arranged by God as prophesied by Zechariah 9 verse 9, which Jesus then rode on Palm Sunday, and 3 days later, so on Wednesday, we see Jesus at the Last Supper telling his disciples of what would happen. Verse 4.
Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off.
So we see here more typology. Abraham saw the mountain where Jesus would later be crucified, which we now know to be on the north side of the Temple Mount. Verse 5.
And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.
Okay, first of all, notice how Abraham says to the men, We will come back to you. Actually, the original says, I and the boy will come back to you. He certainly knew he had to sacrifice Isaac. So why say they would come back if he didn't think that God would resurrect Isaac? The typology here is God, as in Abraham being a type of God, knew he would also resurrect Jesus.
Typology with his finest details.
And another important point here, which is another gold nugget, is the Hebrew word for lad in verse 5 is Nahar, number 5288, which is the same word used for his young men, also in verse 5, which translates youths in the original. Since Isaac is a type of Jesus, my belief is he was in his 30s, as were the young men. Likely Isaac was 33. Remember, people lived longer in those days, so to be in your 30s is certainly a young person to at least 40, and actually still is today, at least in my eyes.
And still back then, could be called a boy.
I remember my father, when introducing my brother somewhere, would say, "This is my boy Jim," even when he was in his 30s. Verse 6.
So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together.
Of course, another obvious typology that Isaac was carrying the wood, as Jesus would also carry the wooden cross. And Abraham and Isaac walked together, as God was with Jesus every step of the way.
But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father?" And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together.
Okay, this word together is yakad, number 3162, and it does mean united in one accord. So, by now, did Isaac know too, as Jesus knew?
I say yes.
In the Septuagint and the Jerusalem Bible, the word for, F-O-R, in verse 8 is not even written in Abraham's answer after the word provide. It actually says God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Of course, that was a prophecy, as Jesus would be the offering. Now we'll see God substitutes Isaac with a ram, which is a more specific than a lamb, for a ram is an adult male sheep. So definitely another prophecy. In verse 9.
Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood.
So again, Isaac had to know by this time, as Jesus did. In this case, God stopped it and provided a ram whose horns were caught in a thicket, which is a type of the crown of thorns. And in verse 14, Abraham prophesied by renaming the mountain Yahweh Yireh, meaning the Lord shall provide. Like Abraham told Isaac in verse 7, the Lord shall provide himself. Now that just takes my breath away. I hope you'll join us next week for more gold nuggets. And if you don't know the Lord, repent and invite him in, for he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our president's wisdom and for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122. Till next time, have a great week. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.